Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
NFL, college football is in session. Basketball is around the corner, whether it's NBA or college. And, of course, the regular season for MLB is concluding. And we got the playoffs coming up. So what better place to bet than MyBookie? They've been in business for years. And they got a mobile site so you can bet on the go. And if you miss a game, you know, miss the betting window, you can place a live bet. And you can even bet on fantasy points. And also they have a first deposit bonus. You put 100 in, you get 100 back. Use the promo code armchair. Check it out, you guys. Make some money. You bet, you win, you get paid. All right, guys. It's Vlad Harris here, another Panther Rants podcast. Happy Thursday to you guys. We got the pick game coming up. It's not till Saturday, obviously. And, of course, it's a 12:30 kickoff, so you get to, tailgate in the morning, you know, get some breakfast. Kegs and eggs, as they call it. So you got that going for you, and hopefully, if anything, Pitt takes his team out early, and maybe you can get out earlier, you know, have the rest of your day and be in total harmony. And looking back to some of the, some of the events that have happened from Saturday till Thursday, or from the last podcast till now, Pitt released a t-shirt commemorating the Pitt special. And obviously this t-shirt drew some criticism. It pissed some people off. Obviously, Central Florida got pissed off at some of their fans. And personally, I understand. But if I'm a Central Florida fan, I'm taking this as a compliment. I mean, a team from a P5 conference prints out a t-shirt commemorating their victory over you. That's actually, I understand saying, because we're a P5 team, we shouldn't do that. But if I'm a Central Florida fan, I'm actually liking this. Because a P5 team is celebrating their victory over us. Because let's look at Central Florida right now. Currently, they're the best program in the state of Florida. Nobody else can really touch them right now. You know, Miami is kind of a mess. Florida just hasn't gotten it together ever since Urban Meyer left. But of course, Urban left them burning in flames. When it actually, Urban put gasoline into the house, and then he just lit a cigarette and flicked the button, and just walked out. And said, I'm out of here. Florida State, well, Jimbo left, went to A&M, and there's talk as to why he left. From what I was told, he was going through a divorce, and he needed to go somewhere, get a fresh start, and, of course, make plenty of money. So A&M, being how they were, if you remember when Jackie Sherrill left Pitt, I think they put him on a private plane and gave him a whole bunch of money. And that's pretty much what they did with Jimbo Fisher. Although the Jimbo Fisher era at A&M hasn't really taken off, mainly because they're not winning. He's not winning as they like him to. I mean, they just got beat by Auburn. at home not too long ago. But, yeah, Central Florida is, you know, the best program in Florida right now, and, yeah, nobody can touch them. And the only time you're really ever going to hear about the other power programs is if, which coaches are going to fire or who they're hiring. That's it. That's kind of odd, isn't it? Three power pro. I mean, so many programs in Florida, and your best program is a team that plays in the AAC. And yeah, I ragged on Central Florida the other day because I called them Happy Gilmore, where they're really good at some things, but really bad, you know. But for whatever reason, they just can't get, you know, they can't get on the hockey team. But they beat the crap of us the year before, and we got a revenge. And personally, yeah, as far as the t-shirt goes, I don't think that this was really necessary to do. But I understand why the university did it. You know, it was a big win, and what do you do? You capitalize off it. You make t-shirts. Because that's all everybody talked about on Twitter was the Pitt special. And yeah, I know, it's actually a Philly special because Philly was the first to do it. True. But, you know, Pitt, you know, did their own version of it. And this was a tougher one because actually he, you know, Matthews made a really nice throw and got it to Pickett. Whereas I think Nick Foles was wide open on his, pretty much. New England was just foiled because they weren't expecting what they were going to expect. And, of course, there's other fan bases that are upset. I'm sure, you know, Penn State, obviously, I guess, decided to put their two cents in. And, I mean, in Pitt's case, they didn't just beat the AAC team. They beat the back-to-back New York Times national champions. Because, you know, Penn State had that 1994 New York Times national champions banner in their stadium. I'm not sure if they still do or not. I don't know if they still do, but, you know, Pitt's not the first school to celebrate a win by printing a t-shirt or having pins. Other schools do it. Even Penn State's done it. So you capitalize all you can. Because if Pitt, as one person pointed out to me, if Pitt didn't do this whole t-shirt thing, then somebody else would have done it and made their money off it. But in case of Penn State, yeah, they do have an argument with their 1994 season. I mean, they went undefeated, and they ended up in the Rose Bowl instead of playing, I guess, one of the top teams in the Orange Bowl. And that was odd, you know, for me growing up. I remember talking to my dad about this. I'm like, hey, Penn State's like the number two team in the nation. Why aren't they playing the number one team? And my dad, you know, mentioned, well, it's because they're, you know, the Big Ten is tied at a Rose Bowl, and they have to play in the Rose Bowl no matter what, which is what, actually that whole arrangement, I remember, pissed off a whole bunch of Penn State fans because they felt that they should have been playing the number one team. Instead, they played Oregon, and they finished ranked number two for the season, and I believe, you know, the other one, the Orange Bowl was, you know, Miami, Nebraska, and you know, that was pretty much the end of that. And, of course, Penn State didn't get a share of the title. They, you know, just got the runner, you know, they were the runner-up. But I think if Penn State was probably either Michigan or Ohio State, I think they would have got a share of the national title. Because, you know, both those two schools had more pull, have always had more pull in college football than Penn State. It's not saying that Penn State doesn't, but I mean, they have a big fan base, big alumni base, a lot of money. It's just that at that time, in terms of politics, Ohio State and Michigan have more pull with that. And I don't, you know, to a certain degree, I don't think, you know, Paterno was really heavily into that. Because of where, you know, where he came from, Eastern football. And, of course, Eastern football was kind of dying at that point, and really it wasn't taken seriously at all anymore. But anyways, guys, speaking of Penn State, just some feedback from, I got some more feedback from the Pitt-Penn State game, and I'll tell you what, but, a lot of the Penn State fans I talk to that I, on a daily basis, they're buddies of mine, they really enjoyed the game, and they do think the Pitt and Penn State may face off in a bowl game one day. And I think, they saw how good this rubber could be, but Pitt's got to continue on with what they're doing. And maybe they will meet in a bowl game. And who knows, maybe they will, work things out and play the series. You never know. The other day on Twitter, I think it was yesterday, one of my followers happens to be a Penn State fan and listens to my podcast. I was pretty cool. I thought, I had no problems with that at all. I thought it was cool that, another fan from another fan base likes my podcast. We all have different allegiances, and there's some stuff we can agree on. You may say Penn State's better, I may say Pitt's better. We may not agree with that stuff, but we can agree on, good food, what's good, beer, alcohol, what's a good movie. A lot of our things we can agree on. We're not going to obviously convince one or the other. But, I think it's cool. Like I said, we all have Penn State friends. We work in the offices with them. We may go to cookouts with them. We may do a whole bunch of stuff. I think now that, when I was talking to Tommy Butler on Summer Mount Nittany, I think the rivalry is more of a fun thing now, where it's not so much of a personal thing now anymore. You'll have a few minor people that it's personal, but really it's more fun. So we got Pitt, Delaware coming up. As I said, 12:30 kickoff. Delaware's 3-1. They're averaging 31 points a game, but they're giving up 30 points a game. They're giving up rushing wise. They're giving up 148. They're averaging 150 yards on the ground, but their defense is allowing 187 yards on the ground, and they haven't really the team that they played on their schedule, the only major team is North Dakota State, and of course the Bison beat everybody. Yeah, but they're allowing 187 yards on the ground, and they're allowing 262 yards in the air. So, a couple of things. For one thing, my expectations for this game is for Pitt starters to be out before the first half, at least by the first half is over. I would hope not to see them, playing a second half where they're struggling. I like to see more emphasis on the running game, and I think if you're going to work on the running game and the run blocking, this will be the perfect game to do that. And I think really that's what they need to do is they need to focus on the running game and get that going. Because as Matt Zemek and I pointed out, as we were on the podcast, I went off his guff, my pylon. Matt's a pretty good resource for college football. He's been writing about it for years, covering it. Check him out. He's at Matt Zemek, Zemek. Check him out. But like Matt mentioned, he's worried about Kenny's durability because Kenny, he's been taking a lot of hits. And what does Pitt need to do? Do they need to, for one thing, they need to fine-tune the running game, if they can do that. If not, more quick passes. More quick passes. They need to get their running backs involved. They need to get as much heat off a pick as possible. Of course, he's going to scramble at times as well and make plays, but... Yeah, that's one thing we have to worry about is his durability. Because can Nick Patty come in and step in if he gets hurt? I don't know. It's hard to say. I know he threw a touchdown pass, but the guy was open for Lord knows how long. And, he sat there like a duck. Luckily we got the ball to him. So, this game, my expectation is for it to be over early, the Stars off the field early, and more emphasis on the running game. And I think if you're going to do it here. Let the running backs audition for this, for whatever job. If they want to be the starter, if they want to be the guy, this is the game to do it. So, hey, you know what? We're playing a really crappy team. If you want to show me if you're any good, that you could be the running back that takes the carries, this is it right here. And for you linemen, if you your run blocking has been shitty, show us you can run block. So, like I said, this game really should be just one of those things where you have to fine-tune things. You figure out your issues and you work them out here. And hopefully the rest of it's smooth sailing. Now, going to Pitt Hoops, I know Pitt had landed a new recruit. They landed Noah Collier. He's a power forward out of Westchester, PA. He's a four-star recruit. And, you know, I really didn't know who in this article I'm picking up from is from Mike Wilson. He does the Pitt, you know, he writes for Cardiac Hill. Check those guys out as well. And I know you, if you haven't already, I'm sure you have. I know, you know, Mike does some pretty good stuff. But Pitt grabbed a kid from Eastern PA, which I don't know if they've done that in a, you know, some time. I know Dixon was landing kids out of Philly. Then for some reason that Philly pipeline dried up for whatever reason. But, you know, Pitt got a power forward and 6'7", 200. And he's a four-star player. And he's obviously got some, as far as recruiting rankings, he's doing pretty well in that. And he's had a bunch of offers. I mean, plenty of ACC offers. Some Big East. And some Big Ten. So he's obviously pretty good. And that's awesome. I mean, obviously recruiting's picking up, and hey, that's good. Maybe he was at the Pitt game and he loved what he saw. Maybe he loved the colors of the uniforms. Who knows? Maybe he loved volleyball. That's great. I mean, I'm glad we landed another big because we obviously that's what we need. Now, as we look at the rest of the games for this weekend, we obviously got a bunch of them here. Friday, Penn State and Maryland. Penn State playing on a Friday? I won't rag on too much for this because I think they played on a Friday before. But I remember that, back in the day we used to get ragged on when we were in the Big East for playing on Fridays because, Fridays are for high schools. But in terms of TV money and whatnot, things change. So Penn State's playing Maryland on a Friday night, 8 o'clock Eastern time. Obviously, this is a big game. Right now, Penn State is a -6.5 over Maryland, over and under 61.5. Maryland, came off a loss against Temple. Penn State, had the week off after beating Pitt, so they got the rest up. This obviously may be a tough one. I think, after what happened last week, Maryland's going to come, may have seen what Pitt did against them, and they may take that blueprint and go after Sean Clifford this time, and that may just happen. So, 6.5, but to be honest with you, Maryland throttled Syracuse, and Syracuse just wasn't good. And they lost to Temple, and I'm not sure, Temple's not bad, but there's, they're not Central Florida either. So, I don't know. I think I like Penn State in this one. I think Penn State wins and they cover. Texas Tech and Oklahoma. I mean, conference play, obviously. So, I'm reading these games. Conference play is obviously heating up. Oklahoma should win this one. They're a 27.5-point favorite. But I'm not sure about Texas Tech. you know, they did defeat Arizona, I guess Arizona State the other week. It's a 27.5 point fit, or 27.5 point dogs in this one. I think they may cover it. They may cover that. I think that's a bit too generous. I'm really surprised by Oklahoma so far, and I think we're going to learn more about them as, you know, things progress. But they have a good chance to beat one of the teams in the college football playoff. I had them on the outside looking in. But, you know, obviously Clemson and Bama are your obvious picks. Ohio State is going to be an obvious one. Oklahoma may be that final team. It just depends on how the rest of the Big 12 goes. Either that, we may see two SEC teams again, and we may just see Georgia again. Look at the rest of them, Rutgers and Michigan. No lie on this right now, but I think Michigan will probably pull this one off. Rutgers just isn't good. You know, Jim Harbaugh is getting a lot of flack over the Army win. And, of course, he went to Wisconsin and got throttled. I'm not sure what's wrong with Michigan. I'm not even sure if it's Jim Harbaugh. You got to look at what's happened with Michigan since Lloyd Carr retired. They brought in Rich Rodriguez, who pretty much took the whole, whatever Lloyd Carr did, and he changed everything to his system, where he had more up-tempo, spread offense. And towards the end, it seemed like things were working out for Rodriguez. They were scoring a lot of points on offense. The problem is they couldn't stop anybody on defense. So a lot of the games were shootouts. And if they happened to run a team that actually knew a lick of defense, well, they were going to have a bad time. So it didn't work out. They bring in Brady Hoke. He has some success briefly. I think they went to a BCS bowl game and won. But that was about it for that. As far as Harbaugh, I mean, now they brought in Harbaugh, and I think it's really just a big mess right now. And I think it's going to take a lot more time to clean this up. But I think one thing that Michigan's really lacking, and they've got some fine players, but what they need is a player that has the it factor, especially on offense. They don't have it yet. And I'm sure Shea Patterson's a nice guy, but they got to have some guys on their special offense that have it. And that's the thing. When you look at Ohio State, they'll have at least two or three guys on offense, especially skill-wise, that have it. You know, they'll have whether it's Cardale Jones, Ezekiel Elliott, Braxton Miller, and the list goes on. They always have talented players that have it. And that's what Michigan needs. They need to have at least one or two guys that have it. Especially a quarterback. Someone where it doesn't matter if how things are stacked against them, they're going to freaking ball out. And they just don't have it. Man, look at the rest of these games. Virginia and Notre Dame. Notre Dame is 12.5-point favorites in this one. The over-under is 48.5. Virginia's undefeated, obviously, but the last two games they played haven't been great. Old Dominion was leading at halftime last week, and they pulled that one out. I mean, they woke up and pulled it out. Notre Dame comes off at this point, you know, a loss at Georgia where they lost by 6 points. I don't see Virginia winning this game. I think Notre Dame's going to take care of them pretty easily. Virginia could beat the point spread, but it's going to depend on their defense. But I just don't know. Their offense just hasn't been, especially last week, wasn't all that great. And Notre Dame, obviously, well, you know, they lost 23-17 to Georgia, and it's at Georgia, and it's an SEC team. I don't know. I think I like Notre Dame this one. I think they win it. And I'm going to say they're going to cover that 12.5 as well. USC and Washington. That's a 2:30 game. Well, 3:30 if you're Eastern. Pacific, you're not, that's another story, but two ranked teams, and, you know, Washington seems to have been running themselves. It's a, you know, they're 10.5, you know, Huskies are 10.5 point favorites. I think Huskies win this one, but as far as the money line goes, I think they'll win as far as the money line goes. As far as they make, I think they may cover the spread, because, I mean, it's at Washington, and I'm not sure if USC will be able to, with their quarterback, will be able to make much noise. And go through the rest of these games. Central Florida is a 43.5 point favorite over UConn. And I don't know, I think Central Florida will cover that one easily, don't you think? I mean, UConn is on the verge of going to probably 1AA because they're just not good anymore. Well, I mean, they were somewhat all right in the Big East, but I just don't, you know. Yeah, that's a mess. But that, as far as the prime time goes, you got Ohio State and Nebraska, and you know, that's an intriguing matchup because Ohio State's fifth ranked going against Scott Frost in Nebraska. If they can somehow do something in terms of containing Justin Fields, they have a chance. But I don't know. It's Nebraska. They haven't been good in Lord knows how long. Then we have the Pac-12 After Dark, which is really not. It's a 9 o'clock game, so it's not technically After Dark. But we have Washington State and Utah, and you know Washington State, you know, had a beautiful parlay, and yeah, they somehow forgot to play defense. So Utah's a 5.5 point favorite, but yeah, I think Utah covers that one. I think they're gonna, you know, it's at Utah, and they're a tough team, and they're just gonna, you know, smack the hell out of them. But anyways, guys, this is it for the top 25 games. And I was about to leave, but I forgot to do the rest of the ACC. Forgive me, guys. Duke and Virginia Tech. This is a tough one. I got to go with Duke. I'm going to go with the team that I think that will play defense, because Virginia Tech obviously is going to have a long season. And I guess until Bud Foster's gone, things aren't going to get better. And I think that's what they need to do with Justin Fuente, is they need to get him a new defensive coordinator and take it from there. But the over-under is 53, and that may go over. Holy Cross and Syracuse. I like this game. I think Boeheim is going to come out and take one. This is football, not basketball. Syracuse should win this one. It's Holy Cross. Clemson, North Carolina. 2 weeks ago, this game would have been a sexy-looking game, but North Carolina's dropped their last two, and of course, you know, one of them was against Appalachian State, which is a team you can't really play around with. But yeah, Clemson will probably win this one, no problem there. Georgia Tech and Temple. Temple 9-point favorites, and I go with Temple in this one. Tech is just in for a long season. Wake and BC. Boston College was looking good early, but I go with Wake in this one. They're on a roll, and they're ferocious right now. They're the old Wake Forest team as we used to remember them, where it was, you know, a small team, small school, but they would come out and fight you. NC State and Florida State, yeah, I think FSU goes to 2-3. I think NC State will take care of them. So there you go, my top 25 ACC games for the weekend. Pitt, Delaware, and whatnot. All right, guys, well, you guys enjoy your weekend. I'll see you again. Hail to Pitt.